Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Wednesday's Remnant Battle Lines Prophecy News Hour with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's show. Pastor Brunson's Burden, Christian Miracles, Muslim Mob Attacks, Indian Christians Suffer, Nigerian Christian Deaths, Globalism, Europe's ISIS, Anti-Israel, and more on Prophecy News. So stay tuned for more on this later. It is Wednesday, the 18th day of July, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy, starting at chapter 1 through chapter 3, verse 22. Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 27. And the New Testament portion is John, chapter 4, verses 1 through chapter 5, verse 47. You can go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman, and also listen to the news shows and the Bible studies. The featured posts this week by The Watchman are Christian Nonconformity in the World, All Things in Christ Jesus, Christian Nonconformity in the World. This is the beginning and ending of all things in Christ Jesus. The flood was finished, everything was now swept away in the judgment except Noah, the ark, animals, and Noah's family. Behold justice, judgment, and mercy. When he comes, all shall behold him, and all that dwell on the earth shall wail because of him. Mercy is given, but justice and judgment are rewarded. So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, gethealthyyoungliving.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman and listen to our shows. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. We also have three Twitter accounts, #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, and #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in The Watchman for Wednesday's Prophecy News Hour. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, you know, they were talking about Trump today after this thing that he did with Putin. You know, it's like he has most of Hollywood, almost every Democrat and liberal, and even some Republicans and Democrats, all of whom never wanted him to get in.
Yeah.
But, you know, his message resonated with the American people, and he was voted in to the chagrin of all these that hate him.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've been subjected and bombarded to the outlandish idiocy for, well, it seems like a long time. And then, of course, you know, I can just see Trump sitting in the White House. What can I do to put a little salt in the wound? I know. I'm going to go meet with Putin. So that's what he did.
Well,
you know,
funny.
He was sent to clean up the swamp. He even called it the swamp. But guess what? I've got news for you today. You may not even know it, that the swamp got swamped.
Really?
Yes, they had massive rainfall. It flooded.
Wow.
Yeah, and there was parts that were shut down. It was so deep, they had to rescue people out of cars.
Good grief.
Yeah, the swamp got swamped. You know? Now, there was no word that all that swamp water came from the Capitol Hill itself out of the out of the deep state, but you know how that goes. We'll never know.
Yeah, that's right.
With all that fake news out there, they're not going to tell you that all the water was actually all that stuff that was coming out of the swamp. We're trying to pump the swamp out. Well, at any rate, so much for that. And, of course, the news came out, and it's been all over. And I know WorldNet Daily covered, I think, I don't know if Breitbart had something, CBN had something, ACLJ had something. There's been a number of them. And Pastor Brunson, actually, they were waiting for him. They were saying that he might get released the 18th. The Turkish court was going to decide his case, and there were those who felt that he had a good chance of being released. Well, they sent him back to prison.
That's horrible.
It is. And of course, Erdogan is a pompous dictator.
Uh-huh.
He is also a NATO member, which is phony. And, of course, NATO or Europe don't have guts enough to kick him out of NATO. And yet, they don't have really a lot of guts to tell him that they need to pony up not just this American pastor that's been in prison just because he preached the gospel, but because of many of the other Christians that are imprisoned right along with him, among others. Because Erdogan now has all the government. He, of course, when he did it, you know, before he did this, of course, he fired, I forgot how many thousands of teachers he got rid of them.
Oh, yeah, it was a bunch.
Yeah.
6,000, 7,000? I don't remember.
And then he locked up a lot of the military. And he just swept and cleaned house, got rid of everybody. So he was free to do what he wanted to do, and he actually voted himself out in as one of these permanent dictator types, which you see in Islamic nations almost all the time. Iran's the same way. They have a little president, but that president can't scratch his butt without the okay of Khomeini and their, you know, Revolutionary Guard. So, you know, the bottom line of it is that Pastor Brunson has become a political ploy, and
right,
there's no way this knucklehead over in Turkey is going to do anything to stop it. Matter of fact, he has been, you know, calling for all of the Arab countries to get together in a Muslim army and attack Israel and wipe it out. Iran's been warning Israel that they're going to destroy Israel. You know, and of course, there's the ongoing border skirmish with Gaza, and most of the people there, there's people getting killed in the Palestinians because, you know, they have been taught to give their life to kill Israel, and that Allah likes those, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a mess in the entire Middle East. You got a mess around. And, you know, I was sitting here today and I was thinking of the state of America. And so I was tweeting some stuff out, which I don't normally do. You know, and basically, you know, if you think America has it bad, you know, and I was saying on the tweets, it took 3 tweets and I said, I think of Pastor Brunson, who
right,
is in prison for his faith. Asa Bibi, who is in prison for her faith. The Christian farmers in Nigeria being killed by the Fulani. And more getting slaughtered. So next time you worry that America's in such a bad state, think of that.
Could be worse.
Could be worse. Well, Jerry Golden today wrote something out there today, and he was talking about all the Christians that were getting killed. And he said, you know, I thought that the Christians would you know, while they're watching Muslims killing Jews. I thought once the Muslims started going after the Christians, that the Christians would become worried and stand up. But he says that ain't the case, because they're too busy in America, all these churches preaching prosperity, to stop and actually, you know, tell people that they need to give to various ministries to help those who are persecuted.
That's
to stand
right.
up against the Muslim persecution, to write the president to do something. And he says they won't do it. And it was bothering him. But they won't do it. And, you know, the thing of it is that some time ago, I stopped the news, and I finally figured that out today. I was looking at it. We dropped in our stats the minute I stopped doing the news. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you here that I will not cover the news like I used to on our websites, even if I have one person, you know, that's hungry for God. I expect the Lord to lead them to our website to find help. Yeah. I will not cover this whoredom that's going on. And I will not waste valuable airtime on this menagerie of idiocy that we have in America, which is an abomination to the America that I used to know. And the morons that think they know what they're talking about are that morons. And the Bible talks about it. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest he look wise in his own eyes. And of course the news, liberal, MSN and others, of course MSN News, the app, is now named Microsoft News, but you're going to find out that Microsoft News is the same bunch of liberal nutcases as MSN is. So they were quoting Schumer. Schumer is about as nutty as Pelosi is. And of course, he was castigating Trump over this thing. Everybody's castigating him. I don't care. Doesn't make any difference to me. Because when I look at what's going on in this country, especially from the left and other things, you know, it just, you know, the woman caught in adultery, were caught by a bunch of pious, you know, law-keeping Jews, Pharisees, who knew very well what she was doing, and they didn't do anything until they could figure out a way to press the Lord on something, and so he wouldn't say anything. And then he stood up and said, "Those of you that are without sin, cast the first stone." So nobody said anything, and they all turned away from the oldest to the youngest. And in America, we're so hard-hearted, so ignorant, and so prideful that we don't see all the sins that's been going on by the left, and Obama as well, and others, Clinton. And, you know, all you can do is sit there and find fault with Trump, who is not a politician, who isn't perfect, and who simply wants to make America great. And instead of finding help from people, all he does is get castigated by a bunch of biased, self-righteous, pious, liberal, and including Republicans, who are nothing but a bunch of political fools. Now that's America today. And you look at the churches, between the churches doing nothing and not standing up. And you have, of course, ACLJ standing up. And you have a number of others. We're in advocacy. We stopped doing the news, and we're doing this now on our news show. But I'm telling you that, you know, this whole thing's going to come around to America one day. And God help us, because when this thing hits America in its full form, all these Americans that are self-righteous and sitting in their comfortable homes are going to be pouring over the borders trying to find help somewhere, and those other countries ain't going to help us.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, you know, and I know that this Erdogan thing bothers you a lot.
Oh, it does. I am just, it's horrible. I just hate that he's imprisoned for this. It bothers me greatly, and that Asa Bibi being in prison for 9 years, people lying against her.
Yeah. And nobody does anything.
No.
You know, and that's the irritating thing, is that the government doesn't hold Pakistan responsible. And we don't do it with China either. You know, China's been persecuting Christians for as long as you can think.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, Walmart became filthy rich because of fat-ass Americans, excuse the expression, want cheap goods, and they're willing to buy it from China. And that, in turn, destroys American jobs, destroys the economy. And not to mention the fact it don't do a whole lot to stop what China's doing when it comes to persecuting Christians and other groups as well, not just Christians. And nobody slapped Trump on the back for at least meeting with Kim Jong-un. The first such meeting ever. You can't hope to even change a nation as closed as they are unless you meet with them. Now, they are one of the worst persecutors of Christians on earth, and you would think this country would try to do something to help the Christians in North Korea. God help us. Because when judgment comes, America, you are guilty. Churches, you are guilty. Democrats, you're guilty. Liberal Hollywood, you're all guilty. And Republicans, you're guilty as well. Shame on you.
That's right, amen.
And of course, the ACLJ, do you have that there?
Yes, I do.
Any rate, there's a note from...
Say secular.
Yeah, go ahead. That just that little section where it says Pastor Andrew and on down. Can you read that?
Pastor Andrew is innocent, yet he's been accused of Christianization as a crime by the Turkish regime. This loving father and husband has been unjustly imprisoned for more than 21 months. This mockery of justice, bogus charges, hearsay testimony from secret witnesses, and intolerable delays must end. He must be released. We're engaged in a multifaceted global legal advocacy campaign working with Pastor Andrew's lawyer in Turkey, the State Department, at the UN, filing new legal documents in just days, and directly with NATO to bring him home. I have just deployed a senior team of attorneys to Washington, D.C. to urgently raise Pastor Andrew's case. Pastor Andrew says, I desperately miss my wife and children, yet I believe this to be true. It is an honor to suffer for Jesus Christ, as many have before me. My deepest thanks to all those around the world who are standing with and praying for me. Now is the time to pray. Now is the time to act. Join over 580,000 others in demanding his freedom. And there's a petition you can sign.
Just go to ACLJ.org, and it should be on the front there.
It's heartbreaking.
It is. And to be honest with you, I finished this news. I got this news out, the advocacy part, and this is last week we were swamped with just all over the globe Christians. And we also reported on the Yazidis last week, and of course other Muslims, the Kurds. And so, you know, while we're in advocacy for the persecuted church, make no mistake, we do talk about other groups like the Yazidis, and there's also Muslims that are killed. But the bottom line of it is, our focus is Christian persecution. But when you get in the Middle East, just about any kind of group is going to get killed and murdered if they don't agree with the people that are going to do the killing. And when you get into this radical Islam, and you can trace most of this violence, most of this extremism, straight directly back to Muhammad and to his doctrines, and how they interpreted them today. And you have a lot of people. And I don't know if you knew this, but there is a whole area still in Syria that ISIS holds. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
There is, and I'm trying to remember how big it is. It was like two or three times the size of some state. You know, I seen that the other day. And ISIS is still, they keep a low profile, but they're still there, still doing the same thing. And they control that area. Now, I don't know why somebody hasn't gone in there and cleaned them out. But see, with Erdogan making war against the Kurds were the only ones to have fought ISIS and won. And they actually defeated him with the help of the U.S. air power and other allies. So now the Kurds have Erdogan on their border of Syria bombing him. And the Kurds in Turkey are being persecuted by Erdogan, along with Christians. And you have ISIS who can sit there and take advantage of all this chaos because of Erdogan.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
But there is some good news in here, and I don't know if you want to read this or not, but this comes from Bibles for the Mideast. And it's about a miracle baby that was born, the Muslim parents, and how they, you know, tried to have kids and couldn't, and then some Christians prayed for them. And eventually, they were born into God's kingdom through Christ. And
well, let me read it.
Go ahead.
Dedicated Orthodox Muslims, Noful and his wife Razia, regularly practiced all the many required Islamic rituals. In their 10th year as expats in the Middle East, the couple survived on little income. Their one big hope of having children had been thwarted for over a decade. While out doing personal evangelism one day, some women from Bibles for the Mideast encountered Razia. They learned of her strong desire for children and how dejected she had become through her years of barrenness. The women told her of their own convictions that prayer to Jesus was the answer for everything. They gave her many examples of answered prayers from the Bible, such as the birth of Isaac, son of Abraham and Sarah, Joseph, son of Jacob and Rachel, and Samuel, born to Samuel and Elkanah. They also shared the message of the gospel and their own stories of converting from Islam. If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He will hear you and you will have a child soon. They felt reassurance from God to tell her. Reza asked the women to pray for her continually, and they agreed. They invited her to a prayer service at the underground ALG church they attended. Secretively and bravely, she joined them at the meeting where Pastor Thayyib was ministering. He explained to her how Jesus took all of our sins and iniquities, redeemed us by his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, and died as a ransom for us. He rose from the dead and still lives as our Lord to answer our prayers and take us into heaven as his faithful bride, he went on. Accept him as your Lord and Savior, and he will take care of your need. Razia accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. The pastor prayed over her and prophesied that by this time next year, she would have a son. Razia found herself believing him, but when she shared the news with her husband, Nufel, he just laughed. Soon, however, she conceived. Both were delighted, of course, but as much as she implored him to go with her to the service of the underground church, he still refused. He did, however, take wonderful care of her. Now she was pregnant, including bringing her for checkups at her gynecologist at least once a week. 6 months into her pregnancy, the doctor informed the couple their child may have serious birth defects. Their hearts sunk. How could it be? Worry began to consume them. Finally, Nouvelle gave in to his wife's entreaties and went along with her to a service at the underground church. As Pastor Tayyib wrapped up his sermon, he gave an altar call To everyone's delight, Nufel went forward and accepted Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, and then joined in prayer for the couple, especially for the coming baby. Nufel, however, still worried about the child's health. He couldn't imagine being able to deal with a disabled or deformed child financially or otherwise. The fruit of the womb is our Lord's reward, the pastor assured him. It will be given you without blemish. When their beautiful, healthy baby boy arrived several months later, doctors and medical staff couldn't hide their surprise. Nufel, beside himself with joy, rushed to the church to praise and thank the Lord with the pastor and other believers. But then came the substantial medical bill. In their country, hospitals will not release mothers and newborns until all expenses have been covered. Nufel had nowhere near the amount needed. He asked hospital authorities if they could wait one more day before discharging, and they agreed. He approached some of his friends and managed to borrow enough money. The next day, he headed to the hospital cashier to pay. Today's accounts are closed, so come tomorrow, he was told. When he arrived to pay the next day, he got a similar story. He'd have to wait yet another day and come back. On the third day, the cashier surprised him with a new story. You don't have to pay the bill, he said, for the ruler of the kingdom issued an order last night that all delivery cases must be without charge, so he could finally and completely freely leave the hospital with his wife and infant son. Again, he and the church praised and thanked our loving Lord in his amazing love and care. The very next week, the ruler of the kingdom withdrew the order for free treatment of delivery cases. How wonderful our Lord is for Nufel and his family alone, and our Lord ordered and changed the rules through the ruler of the Muslim kingdom. Praise the Lord forever and ever. Amen. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yep, and the names, all the names when we bring you the stories from Bibles for the Mideast are changed. Now, the ALG is the Assembly of the Loving God, and that's just one of the different kinds of instances that we've been reporting, and we report it from a number of different sources, but you know, the thing of it is when you read stories like that, and you realize that God is in the miracle working business.
Amen. He never stopped. Never will.
Yep. So at any rate, we want you to take encouragement from these stories. And in regard to the persecuted Christians, pray for them. And do what you can financially to help ministries that are working directly with the native church overseas. And there's a lot of them. If you have problems wondering who to help, you can go to our website at warren-usa.com, send us an email, and we'll give you a few little ideas. So at any rate, we don't, you know, and when we tell you about this, none of these ministries pay us to do this. You know, we do this to get the word out, to let you know. We are an advocacy. And in the process of doing this, we're, you know, I'm telling you to support these. And, you know, the Lord will take care of us. He always does. You know, one of these days, you know, you're not going to be able to listen to stuff like this. One of these days, the darkness will be here, the time of the night. So you'd better understand that as bad as you may think it is, we're not in the time of the night yet. We're not even close to the time of the night, which will come, and that will be the fullness of the tribulation. And this next story comes out of Morningstar News, which is a website that covers Christian news. And this is in Egypt. And, you know, the thing in Egypt that you find a lot, and you and I have talked about this tower, and that is, you know, the Christians over there want to be in a church building. And trying to find a church building, you have to have licenses. And we've talked about this. And the licenses, you can fill them out, but many times they never get approved. And this is an example. Christians were coerced into an out-of-court settlement following an Islamic attack on a church building in Egypt. And of course, when they tried to do something, it was the Christians that ended up getting the short end of the stick, and the people who actually was in the attack weren't bothered. And in Egypt, this is the way it is. So you've got cops over there, and you also got some other independent Protestant churches. Members of an armed Muslim mob that attacked the church building in April were acquitted in May of this year of mobbing, fighting, and possession of an unlicensed firearms based on a conciliation settlement calling for the church site to close. 9 Christians were arrested, with 5 held illegally for a month, and charged with failing to have a church building license in a country where officials are slow to approve licenses, if at all. And we found many times they don't get approved at all.
Right.
Middle East specialist Raymond Ibrahim, he's been covering a lot of this for a long time. The state security court handed 9 Christians, 11 Muslims, 1 year suspended sentences and eventually acquitting them because of an out-of-court settlement. And, of course, involved was the Coptic church, Coptic villages. And, of course, it goes like this. Obtaining or constructing a church building in Egypt was almost impossible. And then in 2016, there was a law for building churches, this church had applied, the very one that got hit, for legalization. And the law stipulates that no church that has submitted this application to officials shall be closed. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And we've seen this also in Pakistan, when the Pakistani Supreme Court tried to stand up against a lot of the local little tribes that enforce a lot of this through their Muslim ways against Christians there. And it's really hard to get the people to obey. And so authorities tell Christian leaders things like, yes, we understand the situation, your innocence, but the only way to create calm in the village is for X, that is the offending Christian and extended family, all of whom may have been beaten, to leave the village. They tell him just for now until things calm down. And of course, and that is what Raymond Ibrahim was saying in his research. Now, we've reported this, that around the world we see Christians run out of their villages, run out of their churches, and some of them even living in the jungle with no place to go. And we understand you need a church, but as you can see, the situation is volatile for right now. So for the time being, maybe you can walk to the church in the next town 6 miles away until things die down. Should the Christians refuse and demand their rights as citizens against the assailants, the authorities will smile and say, okay. Then they'll go through the villages, make an arrest, except that most of those that they arrest are, guess what, Christian youths.
Good grief.
And then they will tell the leaders that your kids, you know, we've made the arrests, but just as you say, so-and-so Muslim was involved. There are even more witnesses, Muslims, who insist your own Christian youths were the ones who began the violence. So we can either arrest and prosecute them, or you can rethink our offer about having a reconciliation meeting. So the Christians have there's no justice, and you don't want your kids to be thrown, your young men to be thrown in prison.
Sure don't.
And, you know, this is the way it is, and we have seen this time and time and time again in news stories coming out, and it's not just in Egypt. It's around the Muslim world. And to say the least, it's irritating, Tower?
Yes, it is. It sure is.
And it's irritating because we live in America and we demand justice, but that's one of the reasons that America has been so great. It was always a step up. But You know, we America has fallen a lot. And justice around the world is hard to find. And of course, another place that we go a lot and find a ton of stuff always happening, and that's India. On July 2nd, Hindu radicals attacked 150 Christians who were gathered for a prayer meeting. And more than 20 were injured in the assault. July 6th, Christians were forcefully converted to Hinduism in a particular part of India. Six Christian families nearby were given the ultimatum to recant their Christian faith. They had come to the Lord from Islam, but were faced severe consequences. Not from Islam, but from Hinduism. On July 7th, Christians again were arrested after local villagers falsely accused them of attempting forced conversions. 16 of them were formally charged. Now, if you go in and even preach the gospel, they could get you. July 8th, the radicals assaulted a pastor. Also on July 8th, a mob of 150 people, Hindu radicals, forced their way into a church in another part of India, assaulted the pastor and other members. And the list goes on and on and on and on.
Good grief.
And that's comes from International Christian Concern. But you see, the thing of it is that America continues to deal with India on a normal basis. We do business with them. There's no reason for the Hindi government to change their ways, because the government still embraces, commerce and commerce around the world. There's a lot of technology that goes on there. And if you could get Bill Gates as well as Dell and a lot of others to pull out of India and shut it down, it would force this Hindi government to get their heads out of the proverbial, dark place. But it ain't going to happen, because money's more important than Christians.
Yes, sir.
And even other lives, And that's the way it is. Europe doesn't stand up either. NATO doesn't stand up. Even the UK doesn't stand up. Now, they do have certain ministries over there that have a tendency to stand up. But even the UK has its own problems with, Islam taking over there. Now, another place that's been in the news more and more has been Nepal. Now, wasn't it Nepal that had that terrible earthquake? Long time ago.
Yeah, they did.
And we had reported on that. And, the thing of it is that it's hard to understand that in Nepal, the government, they actually deported, a couple, a married couple, they were sent back to the Philippines and Indonesia, and they can't come in to Nepal again for a year. They had been staying there on a one-year business visa, but the couple's also involved with the Every Nation Church. And there was a complaint lodged against them. And of course, and I remember when I was going to Bible school, this was a big deal. When you're given, a visa to come into a country, they ask you what you're going to do. And 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get one for preaching, teaching the gospel. You're just not going to get it. Now, if you're going to teach English or something else, then many of them will accept you. But you cannot go in there as a preacher, as a missionary, or something like that. You can go in under certain kinds of visas. And if they catch you preaching, if they catch you, this is the way it used to be, you could be in trouble, bad trouble over there. So a lot of the missionaries went over there, had to be very careful. Now see, we had friends from the school that, they were, there was Japan. We had people that, the Jacksons who were over there. We had others in the Philippines. There was some from Africa. I was thinking it wasn't the Glovers. It was somebody, it's right on the tip of my tongue, the one that was in the Philippines I mentioned some time ago.
Davidson's?
No, it wasn't Davidson. I can't even think of his name right now. But at any rate, this is what happens. And so you got to be very careful. So they got kicked out in Nepal. And of course, the other thing that really hasn't gone away has been the problem with Nigeria. And, you know, when we first started reporting on Nigeria, we were reporting on Boko Haram and how this was during the time of ISIS and how they were trying to imitate ISIS. And this is the time they took all them young girls. Remember that?
Yes, I do. And I think Boko Haram became worse than ISIS.
Well, you know,
I don't know if that's possible, but it seemed like they were.
Well, they definitely wanted to emulate ISIS. There's no doubt about that. And of course, but the ones who really came ahead in the murder department was the Fulani militants, who were herdsmen. And we've been talking about them for a long time. And again, ICC gives the report saying that they have killed more than 230 people in one of the latest reports.
Wow.
And there's been more than 1,350 Christians killed in the Middle Belt. Now, the numbers, though, that are reported in addition to that by the Christian Association of Nigeria actually put the number not at 1,350, but at 6,000 at the very least that are killed by the Fulani militants. You know, it's really hard to get a picture of how many died. It's just like when ISIS was going through the Middle East. There wasn't any regular reporters, no way to get the information out, and there was quite a number of reporters killed. And that's how a lot of the information got out, was through smartphones and tablets and things like this on texts and small videos. That's really how it got out. That's how it got to some of the native news agencies that were reporting it at the time from in the area there. They were you know, you just have that. And of course, the Fulani herdsmen will go into this area where the farmers are and let their cattle, their herds rather, roam into the farmer's field. When the farmer would go out to try to get them out of the field, these Muslims would kill them. And in the case we were talking about last week, they just attacked an entire village and destroyed it, an entire group of farmers. And of course, Buhari, which is the Muslim president, has said he would do something, but he doesn't. Before that, it was Jonathan Goodluck Johnson, who was a Christian. He didn't do anything to stop Boko Haram. And of course, Nigeria's dependence on oil makes a big deal, too. And I believe it's in Nigeria's oil belt where they're getting it. There's also some other radicals over there because they don't like the oil being pumped because of the problems there. So there's a lot of problems. When you get into Africa, you get into the Middle East, and Islam is just finding a heyday. And, of course, these are all tribes, and the hatred and the biases of the tribes are just unreal.
It's hard to imagine that people could have so much hatred in their hearts.
Well, you know, I've said this before, that really bothers you and me. It would bother anybody. You know, God made man and created man. And, of course, man fell. But even in his fallen state, man has the propensity for doing good. And yet he has an even greater propensity for doing evil, just so horrendous that it boggles the mind.
Oh, it does.
And when you consider the species of humans and how humans prey on one another, slaughter one another, it makes you it should make you stop and think that just how wicked it is today. Because these people have murder in their hearts. Cain slew Abel because of murder and hatred. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. And of course, when we talk about the end of days, one of the seals, there's going to be death. And there's the power to take peace from the earth. And the power that would cause people to kill one another, destroy one another. And you know, one of the things that fulfill that to the T is Islamic radicalism and their doctrine that rewards dying for Muhammad, and they can go to instantly to paradise. And
so they think.
Yeah, so they think. You know, Europe will not discuss this. UK will not discuss this. Even in America, it's hard to discuss this because nobody wants to believe that Islam is responsible for all the murders and all the problems. You go around, and where you find war, where you find like Erdogan and what he's doing in there, he's trying to create the caliphate, the old caliphate of the Ottoman Empire. That's what he's trying to do. When you go into Egypt and you see the problem with the cops there and the Muslims killing them, hey, that goes back to the same thing, Islam. All over you see that, with few exceptions. Now, Saudi Arabia stepped up and said, that's not going to happen here, and they actually told their imams they need to quiet it down or they'd be in trouble. And so, you know, this is where you're at. And it astounds me how these people can slaughter, I mean, just slaughter men, women, and children, and they go home and whatever they do, get drunk, get high.
Eat dinner,
whatever it is. How can you live a normal life?
Yeah, that's a good question.
When you call yourself a warrior and you say that your God wants you to kill all these innocent people.
Their consciences are seared.
Yeah. Not to mention your souls are sealed for the devil and destruction. You're going to go to hell and you're going to burn in hellfire. Now make no mistake, Muslims today are coming to the Lord. And you know why? Because God doesn't want them to perish. But there are people out there that are Muslim, that are led astray, that are blinded, and God opens up their eyes and they repent and they come to Him. And we are seeing this. And this is why the devil hates the gospel. This is why these Muslim rulers are scared to death of anybody that preaches the gospel. And this is why, even in America, this is going to happen. It's coming here. It's going to be worldwide. Because they're preparing, this lawlessness is preparing for the chief one who is lawless.
Yeah, I don't want to be around.
Dear God in heaven, who would? At any rate, you know, these are terrible times for a lot of the Christians. So when you're having a hard time, and maybe you're having bill problems, maybe you're having children problems, whatever it is, pray for the persecuted brethren first. Pray for the needs of those who are in prison, who are dying for their faith, for those who need help. Pray for those who are on the streets in America that are, you know, don't have a home. Pray for others, and then pray for your need. But pray for these others first, and lift them up before the throne of God.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
It's unconscionable that humans treat humans like this.
That's true.
It's unconscionable. It shouldn't happen, but it does. And as I said, there is so much coming in now from every quarter. And now, of course, you have ACLJ, who is a Christian ministry. They do a lot of this stuff that they're talking about pro bono. They get their money, their from donations that are given to them from people who want to see them continue their work to protect people like that. And he just, ACLJ just does not help persecuted Christians, but they also go after your government. They're the reasons that some information has come out that would never have come out, even during the Obama administration. And so, you ever wonder who's doing the fighting so you can stay free? It's organizations like the ACLJ. And make no mistake, God put Trump in there, and he did it for a reason, because it's called judgment. Obama was judgment too, and so's this. God is not going to give Americans and America an easy peasy time of it. But you know, the other day, while you and I were driving around Tower in this town, there was places that we hadn't been to, and we were over by the mountain. And we were both astounded at the size of homes people are buying and living in today.
Oh, it was incredible. Beautiful homes, like small castles. Some of them were castles. It was just unbelievable.
And they were gorgeous. I mean, you could eat off the lawn, off the cement, off of anything. It was gorgeous. And they were huge.
The yards were beautiful.
There's no way I would ever want one of those.
Me either. It's nothing,
no way.
Nothing I would be interested in at all.
No, that is not me.
To tell you the truth, I don't even envy those people. I couldn't justify living like that when there's others suffering around the world.
So you need to take care of your heart. And you need to make sure your focus is right. I mean it. You ain't going to answer to me. You're going to answer to the Lord. And I can tell you, he knows where your heart is. God knows our hearts. I don't have to prove anything to you. God knows our heart, and he knows Tower's heart. We're not like that. I wouldn't want anything like that.
No, me either.
Now, I would take land with a small house on it. But that's it. But there's no way would I live or have that kind of thing. Just, I can't even wrap my head around that. When I saw how big they were, you know, and when I was in service, I was stationed, one of the places was out in the East Coast, and I was out in Rhode Island. And my station post was next to a place, a little town there in Rhode Island, on the seashore. And I would walk on my weekends off, along the seashore, and all the multi-million dollar mansions were along this path. On one side was a big cliff, and the other side was their homes, and they had big fences and dogs that would eat you up. So if you got too close to the fence, as I did one time, these dogs would, you know, and the thing that's separating you is just the wire. And, they looked like they're going to come through the wire in order to eat you. I mean, and they didn't mess around. But those were huge. Leona Helmsley, she lived out there at the time. Huge, 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 huge. They made these that we think are huge small. In America, we have a lot of money. You know, they were boasting about Bezos being the world's most richest man. Nobody's ever been richer. I pity him.
Yeah, that's...
I'll tell you what Bezos needs to do. He needs to sell off everything, give 95% of it to the poor and the afflicted, and seek God.
That'd be nice if he would.
But see, most of his is in stock with Amazon, so that's actual cash value.
Yeah, he's
it goes up because the stock goes up. Same way with Bill Gates, although he did cash out a bunch of his stuff.
Huh.
But of course, I'm not a high financier, so I can't tell you anymore. But at any rate, I'm concerned that I and my family have our hearts right in these perilous times. And I'm telling you, have your hearts right.
Yes, amen.
So with that, we're done.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow night for Thursday Battle Lines. And where we will be?
We are in what, John?
John chapter 8.
Yeah.
I mean, part 8, I think.
Yeah, you're further down the road. Yeah, part 8.
Yes.
Okay.
Good night, everybody. We love you. We pray for you. Thank you for listening whenever you do. God be with you and bless you richly.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.